92.3 is FM Talk.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. Job Hunter, live and local inside the bucket of blood at Virginia City. It's a big Virginia City Day, Lincoln Day brunch and street fair. There's a wine train, I think a wine walk right now. The breakfast is going on at the Delta Saloon. Special opening ceremony. We just had it. There's so much to tell you about the national anthem that was just sung by Little Grady, who was also met the Speaker of the House and lit the Christmas tree. Brady's here. Street fair is going on starting at 11 a.m. in Virginia City and at noon at the Bonanza. I think we have live music and keynote speakers. Right now with me, as we get to know the candidates, Jeff Carter, for Nevada Treasurer. Jeff is a money man. He's done great with investments. He left Illinois because it's a financial mess because of political mismanagement. He doesn't want the same thing to happen to Nevada, his new home for like 6 years. As he said on the show last time, and I transcribed it, Jeff, Nevada has hope and a bright future if we fight for it. As people who left a dysfunctional state, we never want to live in one again. We experienced high taxes, oppressive regulations, less freedom, and a choking government. Politicians always said they were there to serve, but all they did was serve themselves. It's time to take a stand, dig our heels in the dirt, and stop them. That's what Jeff said last time. Right, Jeff?
Yes. Can we drop the mic now?
Okay. Yeah, Jeff, it was great you stopped by. Thanks a lot. This is this is your first time in Virginia City.
This is. It's really cool. We came last night, and we ate at Del Rio, had a little gospel chicken, and woke up this morning and walked around a little bit. It's a really cute little stretch of town here.
Now, how did you know that the Del Rio is the place to eat in Virginia City? That's what insiders know.
So I would love to take credit for it, but it's really Blaine Fairfax, who works on the campaign with me. He figured that out. So,
last time you were on the show, you said there were over 300,000 Nevadans who had crypto accounts. Jeff, they can't be feeling too good about that right now. Bitcoin is worth less than half of what it was a couple of months ago.
It is. I think the thing about Bitcoin, which isn't germane to the treasurer per se, but because I'm a markets guy, I watch it. And my friend actually is that I mentored, David Ripley's the chairman of and CEO of Kraken. Bitcoin hasn't done anything useful yet. It's been a spec interest instrument. Mm-hmm. There are some useful cryptos out there that you see. They're based on either Solana, Maduro, or ETH. And then the biggest thing that's happened with the two acts that are going through Congress is that stablecoins are audited now. So Tether was never audited. And so you have USDT and USDC, and they're audited by the SEC, and so they're safe and, you know, all that stuff. So you can sort of start to use those for payments. Mm-hmm. But Bitcoin has always been a spec instrument to me. You can't spend it. It's just, I don't know that it's digital gold. I mean, I can make a bull case and a bear case for it. And I was actually at a crypto conference back in, I think, 2015, and everybody was really mad at me because I made the bear case at the time. Because it's pure spec and it's not correlated to gold or inflation, you know.
So as Nevada treasurer, how would you involve crypto at all into the state's finances?
I think it's something that I have talked to five state treasurers around the country. And so I think the way you talk about it is we used barter, and then we used cash, and then we used checks, and then we used credit cards, and crypto maybe next. I think there's a huge educational process that has to happen with the legislature. It's something you talk about. I know industry experts that I would bring in, but I think it's not an advocacy role. It's more of a, let's explore this. Is it right for the state? Is it right for payments? Can people save money? Can the state be more efficient? And then let the legislature kind of decide. But I can lead them. You know, they say you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I can bring in all the industry experts. I know the largest traders in the world in crypto. I know people. I've invested in a crypto's futures exchange. I mean, I know all the people that they can get the right information from to make an objective decision.
The big plus, it seems to me, for your campaign is if there's anybody in this race who knows how to get a return on investment along with risk versus reward, it's you. You're a pro at this.
Yeah.
And we've had just politicians take the position of Nevada treasurer. But you're a money guy.
I am.
I think that's a huge advantage.
Yeah. I think that nationwide, there's no requirement to be treasurer. So people don't pay attention to that race. And so it's a stepping stone for career politicians to get their name out there. It just happens in this race. Nobody has any financial experience except me. I was a 20-year interest rate trader. I made markets and calendar spreads, and that's what you kind of have to know to manage a $12 billion portfolio. Our portfolio is mainly short-term interest rates, and it should be because it needs to be safe. The counties need the money. You need pays and collects. But you need to know how to manage it. And there's other things. I looked at the treasurer, and I saw lots of missed opportunities over the last 8 years. Not to get too deep in the weeds on finance, but we have a lot of bonds trading below par that could be bought back, and we could reduce the total debt of Nevadans at no cost.
You know what our current treasurer is doing? He's spending time bashing Trump.
Yeah.
He joined other state officials across the country warning President Trump's aggressive immigration enforcement tactics. By the way, it's not immigration, it's illegal immigration. Yeah. But he's playing the game the media does. He's Trump is against immigration, not legal immigration.
Yeah.
But Zach Conine has signed a letter protesting President Trump. And this is the Aaron Ford thing, the attorney general. All he's doing. This isn't Nevada.
No.
This is just this getting the news by bashing Trump and get the Democrats to vote for me. Well, thankfully, he's term limited.
Yes.
He's running for attorney general.
Yep.
Now, you're not the only one running for the Republican nomination for treasurer. No. Let me see here. We got Joe Dahlia, the lone Democrat who may run. You refer to him as a career politician.
He is.
You have somebody in the Republican primary you're up against, don't you?
Yeah, we're very different. The guy I'm running against has no financial experience at all. He's run three times for office that I know about and lost every time. He loses winnable races. He's been more on the just writing policy side, where I've been in the trenches. I've been on the bleeding edge of finance for 40 years. So my first experience was trading interest rate futures, but then I was elected to the board of directors of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange in 1998. And there was a group of 15 of us that took control of the boardroom. We totally remade the entire exchange. We were the first exchange in the world to go public. When I joined the board, it was worth $100 million. And today, you can look up the stock price, CME. I think it's worth $110 billion, but for sure $100 billion. And it's the largest exchange in the world. We revolutionized worldwide finance. And then after that, I started Hyde Park Angels in Chicago. And there was no venture funding at all. And I invested in a bunch of startups where it was just two people and an idea. We'd put a bunch of money in, and it worked out for us. Today, there's about $2.5 billion minimum that gets invested in Chicago in venture-backed companies. The venture fund that I had was a small micro VC that we would lead deals. So some of them, you might, probably not household names, but they're all revolutionizing finance. One is Seal.ai. They're in Silicon Valley. One was Vauban, who was based in London, that was bought by Carta. Another one's FinMarket.io. So I have just reams and reams of financial experience. I have an MBA from the University of Chicago, which is the best finance school in the country. And I have built a worldwide network of financial professionals that I can call on day one. And a lot of them are donating to the campaign. So I call them up, and they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm running for state treasurer. The governor's people approached me last July, finally decided to do this in December. And they're writing checks to my campaign because they need people like me in office that understand, because we just have had career politicians or people that just don't understand finance.
Well, your
role.
Republican opponent for the primary, you say, has no treasurer type background. He probably lets his wife run the bank account. All right. Jeff Carter for Nevada Treasurer. Jeff, you're going to be hanging around in Virginia City. People can meet you where?
Yeah, we're going to be up and down the street all day. We'll be here till about 2 o'clock today.
What's your website?
My website is jeffcarternv.com.
jeffcarternv.com,
yeah,
folks.
Feel
all
free
right
to go there.
Jeff, a pleasure. Good luck in the race.
Thank you so much.
For Nevada Treasurer.
Thank you so much.
All right, Jeff, take care.
Take care.
I'm John Potter, live and local, back from Virginia City. That's where we're live until noon at the Bucket of Blood. I'm John Potter, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. What time is it, Craig? 10:16.
On an iPhone? Get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. John Potter live, the local in Virginia City. Drew Rebar is running for Nevada Assembly District 40. If you live in Carson City, Story County, East Washoe Valley, the Virginia foothills in southeast Washoe County, it goes west almost to Tahoe and east into almost Lockwood. That's a really weird, funny-looking map, Drew. It's redistricting. Oh, I hate that. Drew Rebar is a longtime local business owner who describes himself as a frustrated businessman. What you frustrated about, Drew?
Government.
Here we go.
Bureaucracy.
Okay.
I think the bureaucracy is destroying America and the American dream. Think about life. 30 years ago, I'm 57 years old. 30 years ago, I was buying my first house. I was, you know, 27, mid-20s. You were buying houses. My friends were buying houses. We were all buying houses. And now, 30 years later, the average age of the first-time home buyer is 41 years old. What have we done to our society?
I was just going to bring that up today, but, of course, we have a lot of guests. I think I'm going to bring this up next Saturday. I compared Nevada to other states. In other states, people are able to get that home at a much younger age. We have become, this is weird for me, because I came here in the 70s. Bureaucracy was not in Nevada's dictionary, and it became that way. So I guess your first thing that you want to do in the assembly is do what you can to cut down bureaucracy, huh?
Cut down bureaucracy, and really it becomes mostly more about government accountability, because the bureaucracy, from what I've seen running a business for decades here, has built upon itself. Every 2 years, the bureaucracy gets bigger. Every 2 years, we elect the legislators to go make the laws for us. And every 2 years, they put more and more restrictions on our liberties. And if you read our Constitution, where did our liberties go? If you think about what you need in Nevada to work, if you're working in a bar, you need a license. If you're working in a casino, you need a license. If you're working in a car dealership,
to get those fees, Drew,
everything needs a license. Why?
They like to still say Nevada's a low-tax state, but they don't talk about the fees. We're burdened by fees. They make up for the lack of taxes and fees, and that's why they bring up all of these regulatory rules.
And our Constitution says that they're not supposed to raise taxes or fees without a two-thirds majority and the governor signing off on it, yet they figured out a way to circumvent this and keep adding fees. The other thing that our government does, especially the DMV, because that's okay, that's what I've got a lot of knowledge of, because my business was a transportation business, and they partially regulated me. The ex-director who I'm running against, I've got emails from her where she's in there creating ad hoc rules. There's one email where she says there's a disagreement with a customer, so let's remove this 127 pages worth of regulations.
You know, you, P.K. O'Neill, I like P.K. O'Neill. You say he voted for too many taxes, and you would never vote to raise taxes like P.K. O'Neill did.
No, well, let's just take the last session where they had the Hollywood handouts. So if you look at who voted for the Hollywood handouts, P.K. O'Neill voted for the Hollywood handouts, and he's endorsing some of my candidates. Why do we in Northern Nevada want to send part of our tax dollars to Hollywood so they can build stuff in Las Vegas? How does that benefit Northern Nevada? Shouldn't we just give all of the citizens of Nevada tax breaks if we're going to give one entity tax breaks? Wouldn't it be better if all of the people had equal opportunities to benefit? Why are we taxing some and giving others tax breaks? It makes no sense.
Drew is running for Nevada Assembly District 40. Here's how a lot of people know you. Drag Queen Story Hour. What is the latest in your war against Drag Queen Story Story Hour events at the library? He's shaking his head. You don't want to talk about that?
God bless the Drag Queen Story Time. Anyways, I am blamed for or credited for, depending on your perspective, of getting rid of Drag Queen Story Time in Washoe County. I sued the county, sued the librarians, and sued some other people. That's in federal court. The court recently dismissed my lawsuit, and they want fewer exhibits in my lawsuit, and they want me to rewrite it, basically. So I'm going to motion the court, and I'm going to refile an amended lawsuit and change some things around. They also told me I was trespassed from Pride. I was trespassed from a public street. And they wouldn't let me go into Pride on Virginia Street, and they had had Reno PD remove me from Pride.
On what grounds?
Well, I paid them the $5 donation. Now, think about this. They required a donation to enter Pride, but if a nonprofit organization was requiring you to pay mandatory donations. Is a donation ever mandatory? But anyways, I paid the $5, and what they had is they had a list of six people on their do not let into Pride, and everybody was a cisgendered, heterosexual, white person that was not allowed into Pride. So recently I went into what's called the Nevada Equal Rights Commission to go file a complaint against them. And when I went in there, I found another corrupt bureaucratic organization where they told me that this investigator told me I needed to go home and read the law before I could file a complaint. The system is just really, really bonkers. And so simply what I propose if I get elected is let's make some laws to hold the government accountable. Instead of every time we go in there, we go and we make laws to hold the people more and more accountable until, again, I say we don't have any liberty anymore. So let's solve that problem.
Well, I was going to say you have a huge libertarian streak. You said this, I guess it was on Channel 4. So how is it liberty if you can't go make money without the government becoming involved? I don't understand that the right to travel is a privilege with your driver's license. Shouldn't the right to travel be a liberty as opposed to a privilege?
That's what I believe, but our courts and our legislators have turned it in a way to control the people. And I don't think that was our founders' original intent. I go back to looking at what the Supreme Court recently has decided in the Bruin decision. If you know what that is, it's a Second Amendment decision where it says that if they're going to make laws or restrain the Second Amendment, they've got to go back to the historical time of when the Second Amendment was ratified. And if there weren't laws at the time to restrict your rights, they can't make new ones, 250 years later. You got to go back to what is historically what was meant at the time in the Constitution. And I'm a real big believer that we need to get back to the Constitution, what it says. We the people should be able to read the black and the white of the Constitution, or read the black and the white of the laws, and know what our rights are, and know what the government expects and requires us to do based on the laws that restrict us, compared to the Constitution that demonstrates our freedoms that are God-given, and let us have our freedoms back.
I wish they would have kids read the Constitution in school. Drew Rebar, who is Drew Rebar, your personal life? Where are you from? What's your background?
I grew up, mom and dad got divorced. That's another story. Mom worked for bars. Dad worked on cars. In 1974, they could buy a house for $13,000. The same house is now $1.2 million. If you have the same jobs, you can't buy the same house. But anyways, growing up, had a divorced family. Grew up between here and Seattle, Washington. Mom lived up here, up there. Dad lived down here. So I bounced back and forth my entire life. Obviously, this is where I chose to live. For the last 20 years, I've been running my small business, ANA Towing. I just tried to sell that. But unfortunately, here's another story. DMV told my new buyers yesterday that they cannot register their trucks until we complete the transfer of the sale. So I can't operate my existing business anymore because the DMV says, no, you can't register your vehicles anymore with us until you complete the sale. there was no due process. We just tried to go register vehicles, and they don't allow you to register vehicles because they made up a new regulation.
Are you bringing this up because your opponent was headed the DMV for a while?
Well, part of it is that, but yesterday when my buyers called me about how the DMV won't allow them to register vehicles to run the business to generate cash flow, it's an immediate problem for me because now they're throwing a kink into me selling my business and participating in politics and doing what I wanted, and they're interfering with my liberty based on laws that don't exist. So it has nothing to do with the fact that my opponent is what she is, but it has to do with the fact that the government is still interfering with my ability to earn a living and take care of my family and my ability to sell my assets to somebody else that I want to sell them to.
It's hard enough being an individual in Nevada. I appreciate this this feedback about being a businessman with the licenses and the fees and the regulations and the nick and nick and take apart the liberty that this state stood for. Drew, you're going to be hanging around Virginia City and meeting people? Where can people meet you here?
I'll be up here almost all the day.
Are you going to hit the places and pass out pamphlets?
That's the plan, talk to people.
Okay, good. You're going to be here for a few hours then.
Definitely.
Virginia City, look for Drew Rebar. What website can they go to find out more about your campaign?
I'm rebar4nevada.com, or if you want to go find me on Facebook, YouTube, all that stuff. I run a couple channels, Auditing Reno 911 on YouTube, and on Facebook, I'm rebar4nevada.
Okay, Rebar spelled R-I-B-A-R, fornevada.com.
Yes, sir.
All right, Drew, good luck, my friend.
Thank you. You have a great day.
I love your passion. What's the big button say?
Never give up.
Never give up. I love it. All right. Thanks, Drew, for Assembly District 40 Republican. I'm John Potter, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. The Lieutenant Governor is coming up. FM News Talk time, 10:31.
Fox at the top. Fox at the bottom. Live and local right now.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area on one radio station. Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
John Potter here, live and local, broadcasting live at the Virginia City, at Virginia City, in the bucket of blood. Greg doing a great job running the system here, and Phil in Carson City. Phil, great job. Mr. Nevada, Lieutenant Governor, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Great to be with you in Virginia City and Story County.
Stavros Anthony is running for re-election to be Nevada's Lieutenant Governor for another term. And this would be your final term, term limits apply?
Yes, you can only serve two terms, so this will be my second term.
Yeah, the governor, too, limited to two terms, and a constitutional amendment restricts any person from being elected more than twice. Now, if Governor Lombardo wins again, his term is limited out in, I think, 2031, which is kind of a long time. So are you looking to eventually step up to the governor's position in the future?
One step at a time. I'm going to run for re-election for lieutenant governor, and then we'll go from there. So we'll see what the future holds. But, I just want to put a plug in for term limits. I think term limits are great, and I think they should be applied to the not only the state of Nevada, but to the federal government also.
A name like Stavros, what nationality are you, sir? Greek?
I'm actually from the country Cyprus. So my mom and dad grew up in Cyprus. It's a Greek Cypriot island. They immigrated here to the United States. My mom was 20, my dad was 30, and then I was born here. So I'm actually Greek Cypriot. That's my heritage, and I try to go back to Cyprus every couple of years. Just to make sure my kids know about their background, my grandkids know about their background.
Oh, God bless you. Yep. All right. Say something in the native language.
All I know is the bad words at this point. So I better not say anything and get your license revoked.
Well, tell us your background. You lived in Detroit for a while. And then the auto industry just went flat. And is that what brought you out to here?
Yeah, it was. I grew up in Detroit, Michigan, out in the suburbs. It was a great place to grow up as a kid. It's cold as heck. Last week it was 0 degrees in Detroit, I think. So I graduated from Wayne State University, wanted to be a police officer. And as you mentioned, it was 1980, bad auto recession. Nobody was hiring. And I heard Las Vegas was hiring because they were growing so fast. So I came out and tested, and they hired me at 23 years old. And I've been out here ever since, 45 years. I spent 29 years with the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. My last 10 years, I was a captain, had some great assignments, vice narcotics, internal affairs, transportation, financial crimes. And then I retired in 2009 when I ran for the Las Vegas City Council. And I won, and I ended up doing 3 terms on Las Vegas City Council. And when I was termed out, I had decided to run for the lieutenant governor, and the great state of Nevada elected me to my first term, and now I'm here for my second term.
Why leave law enforcement, which is a noble position, to get into politics?
Well, I guess one way to put it is, you know, when you look at police work, it's really public service. Most people, when they think of policing, it's running and gunning and high-speed pursuits and getting in fights, which happens, but really 80% of the time as a police officer, you're in a neighborhood solving problems. You're dealing with, you know, helping families, helping kids, making neighborhoods better. And, I mean, that's what you should be doing as an elected official, is trying to make lives better for the people that you represent, to make neighborhoods better for the people who represent. So I ended up running for the Las Vegas City Council because that's what you really do on a council, is you try to make that city or that town or whatever you represent a lot better than when you left it. So that's why I ended up going into politics. I don't call myself a politician. I call myself a longtime public servant. So, and now I do it for the great state of Nevada. So it's my job to travel all over the state and talk to folks about what's important to them and how the state of Nevada can make their lives better. And that's what you do as a police officer.
I think a lot of people be interested in knowing, what does a lieutenant governor do? You are Nevada's lieutenant governor. What are the job duties?
Yeah, you know, that most people do not know what I do. And in fact, if you travel around the country, every state has a lieutenant governor. We all do some different things. So really, the big one is the lieutenant governor is the next in line. If something happens to the governor, if the governor's out of state, you have to have somebody step in, just like the vice president and the president. But our responsibilities beyond that are different. So I'll give you a quick rundown on what I do.
Yeah,
I'm the chairman of the Nevada Tourism Commission, so it is my responsibility to promote tourism, not only in Las Vegas and Reno, but in Virginia City and Story County and Winnemucca and Tonopah and Ely, try to drive tourism to those communities because that's a big part of their economy is tourism. So Travel Nevada is what our marketing tool, and we drive people into the rest of the state. I'm also the chair of the Outdoor Recreation Advisory Board, so we spend a lot of time making sure that Nevadans get outdoors, that tourists get outdoors, that we have a robust environment for people to have access to the outdoors. I'm the vice chair of the Nevada Department of Transportation, so we oversee NDOT and all the thousands of state roads all over the state of Nevada, which, you know, there are quite a few of them. So we want to make sure that they're engineered correctly, they're safe, and they're increased for capacity. I'm also the on the board of the Governor's Office of Economic Development. So one side, I promote tourism. The other side, I promote economic diversity. And one of the big gems is Story County and all the economic diverse companies that are coming to Story County. Also, all northern Nevada is just
more
incredible.
Is coming. More is coming.
More is coming. And you know where they're coming from? California. California is a terrible place to open up a business, so they're coming to Nevada.
That's our best tourism office, California, for business.
Yes, yeah.
I think back to our past lieutenant governors. I've been here since the 70s, and there was Lorraine Hunt.
Correct.
She was very big into tourism. She would always be going to Japan to bring into tourism here. There was Brian Krolicki, I think, for a while.
Correct.
And you love this office, don't you? I mean, obviously, you're running again for re-election.
Well, you know, the best part is I get to travel all over Nevada and talk to folks about tourism, how the roads are.
You get to talk about the great things about the state.
And try to make it better. You know, you travel rural Nevada and you know, people bring up, you know, health care, housing, workforce development. So it's my job to take some of those things back to the state of Nevada and say, how can we improve health care access in rural Nevada? How can we improve workforce development in rural Nevada? So you can't do that unless you actually get out and talk to people.
Do you have any opponents?
So far, I do not believe I will have a Republican primary. I may have a couple of people jump in, but I don't think I'll have a serious primary. But the Democrats are going to come after me. The Democrats are going to come after me.
Oh, they already have.
They want to control. The Democrats want to control the state, and they want to turn it into California. The policies that they promote in the Nevada legislature are left of California, and we should all be scared about that.
All right, sir. Anything else? You got a minute here to tell the folks about why we should reelect you as our lieutenant governor.
Well, I believe I'm been doing a good job as lieutenant governor. I believe I represent the great state of Nevada.
Love Nevada.
I love
Nevada.
You got
Nevada jackets here and hats and everything.
And we have a primary coming up in June. We have an election in November. My name's Stavros Anthony. My email is stavrosanthony@gmail.com. My phone number, my cell phone is 702-812-0123. And my website is Stavros, F-O-R-N-V, Stavros4NVNevada.com. You can volunteer. You can send me a campaign contribution. Appreciate your vote, and it's great to be with you on your radio show.
Awesome. Good luck, my friend, and what a fun job that must be, because when you get involved in tourism, that means traveling throughout the state, hitting the small towns and the Ely and the Elko and the Battle Mountain, all of it. It's a great state, isn't it, Stavros?
It sounds like you're going to run against me. I got to be careful.
Yeah. Talk me out of it. Stavros Anthony for Lieutenant Governor reelection. Thank you, Stavros.
Great being with you.
All right. John Potter, live and local. Back shortly, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 1046.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
Government is bad and government is evil.
99.1
and 92.3
FM Talk, KKFT.
News, talk, truth.
Welcome back, friends. John Potter broadcasting live in Virginia City inside the Bucket of Blood Saloon until noon. Grady Armstrong is a 9-year-old fourth grader at Hugh Gallagher Elementary in Virginia City. And this year, Grady was chosen as the U.S. Capitol Christmas Tree Youth Tree Lighter after winning a statewide essay contest that shared his love, wonder, and appreciation for Nevada. Hey, young Grady Armstrong.
Hello.
First off, I got to ask you, what was it like meeting the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, and what did he say to you?
It was really fun meeting him, and it was really fun. It was a big moment, and what he said was just like a greeting, and you did really good, and then we. Traded challenge coins, so it was like a small meet and greet.
You have your own challenge coin?
Yes.
So what did you think of D.C., Washington, D.C.? Was that your first time there?
Yes, it was my first time there. In fact, it was even my first plane ride. So
your first plane ride?
Yes, it was my first plane ride.
You got to tell me how you felt on that first plane ride and that first trip to Washington, D.C. Tell me all about your trip.
So, in the beginning, on the plane, I felt excited, but on the second ride, that was like the long ride there, I felt tired. So I used up all my energy on the first 5 minutes on the plane. So just loading on was all the energy, and Washington D.C. was really fun because like when you're flying in, you could see like the Washington monuments and some of the National Mall.
What does a Christmas tree lighter do?
Usually, it would re- So usually you would read an essay, like the speech, and then light a Christmas tree, like the Christmas tree.
Like a big switch you had?
Or? Yeah, like a big switch. Like on this one, it was just like a block that there's like a little dial that you went up and down, like almost like a circle. But some are like a TV remote that you just push like one button on it.
So you got the position of being a Christmas tree lighter in the U.S. Capitol by winning an award, or you won for best essay? Is that correct?
Yes, I won.
Okay. Now, the essay is about Nevada, right?
Yeah, it's about Nevada and its public lands and how beautiful they are. Like, if you look out the window right behind us, there's just landscapes of mountains that make up the Humboldt-Tioga National Forest and all sorts of stuff.
Well, God bless you. It's funny because, I said we'd have you do the speech, your essay, if it was short enough. It's too long, really. It's three minutes long.
Yeah.
But you were ready to do it from memory, right? You have no papers in front of you at all. So I'm going to ask you, for time constraints, if you could do two paragraphs from that essay, Brady.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the first paragraph is, I want the country to know how special Nevada's public land and national forests are. These lands are full of wonder, from big animals like elk, mule deer, bighorn sheep, and even moose, to smaller animals like fish, lizards, and birds. Hiking with my family, I've seen water bubble out of the earth in places that look super dry. These springs give life to so many plants and animals. Sometimes you can find arrowheads near these springs, a reminder of the life they gave tribes that lived off the land. We also love seeing ancient petroglyphs carved into rocks by people who lived here long ago. And then the last paragraph in the essay is, Nevada is not just a desert. It's full of life, history, and beauty. And I think everyone in the country should know how important it is to protect and enjoy these amazing places.
Did you get to read this at D.C.?
Yes.
To who?
The Nation.
The Nation? Oh, it was streamed, wasn't it?
What?
Yeah, this whole ceremony was streamed, I think, online. Okay. You won the Star Student Award in kindergarten, which recognized your kindness, encouragement, and leadership. You won an award in kindergarten. I was still doing the Dick and Jane thing in my kindergarten, in mine, with a classroom nap time at noon. You tell me about winning the Star Student Award.
The Star Student Award was a thing in kinder, but then they stopped doing it for some reason at first. But
oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, technically what it was is it was when you showed kindness or leadership, they would award you with a certificate and I think a necklace and a badge or something. And it is kind of funny because I was awarded at the very end of the day. So like it was right when I was about to leave school and like get picked up, they were like, oh wait, Gary, you gotta start soon, blah blah blah, you gotta come. So I like rushed around. They're like, where is that door?
So outside of school, you love exploring places that most people only see on a map. What are some cool places that you personally like in Nevada, Grady?
I kind of like Mount Rose and Arc Dome and those type of places. But I also just like exploring it in Virginia City because there's some places that not very many people go. Like once we found this little pond with like fish in it and snails, and it was beautiful. There's dragonflies flying around. It was absolutely amazing.
You are a true Nevadan, my man. And in third grade, you were selected by your educators, your teachers, to take part in the Young Scholars Program, where you made a presentation on the Mariana Trench. The Mariana Trench, the deepest known point on Earth, located in the Western Pacific, east of the Philippines. What, of all things, made you want to study that?
I don't know. We had a list of, like, limits we can study. And I thought, like, well, I could study octopus, but I want, like, a challenge instead. So I was like, I'll do the Mariana Trench because I've never even heard
it
before. So, like, at that time. So I was like, no, I want to study something new. So I chose the Mariana Trench.
You're a go-getter, my man. What do you want to do when you're older?
Right now on my mind, I would I would want to take the chance to either run for president, join the U.S. Air Force, or be a scientist trying to find the cure for type 1 diabetes.
Look at your dad here, so proud, big smile on him. Boy, what you already got a heck of a resume at 9 years old. That's what blows me away. So the ultimate goal, U.S. president, huh?
Yeah.
Where would you start? What office would you run for before you run for president?
Before I run for president, I'd probably want to, like, start as just, like, a small, like, a restaurant or something, and then move up to, a scientist that I'm going to try to find the cure for type 1 diabetes, which me and my sister both have.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. And then after that, then that would give me a stronger resume, and then hopefully a bigger chance of getting accepted for presidency, and then I'd run for president after the scientist.
Wow, you are miles ahead of what, you know, I was at 9 years old, man, building a snow fort, and look at you. So what are you going to do in Virginia City today?
We're going to go to somewhere else. I forgot where it was. I think the Bonanza.
The Bonanza, okay.
And I'm going to read my essay there.
Oh, awesome. Folks, he's going to read. Grady's going to be at the Bonanza reading the essay. Young Grady Armstrong, we're out of time. Thanks, Grady, okay, for coming by and impressing everybody.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, anytime. I'm John Potter, live and local, back after a short while after Fox News.